If your restaurant has slow bathroom drains and grease blockages, call Superior Plumbing and Pipelining. Superior Plumbing and Pipelining's high-pressure sewer jetting and camera inspection of the drains will assure your peace of mind at your restaurant. Request a free estimate at SuperiorPlumbingJax.com.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Now, the Consumer Law Hour with Eddie and Chuck Farah on News 104.5 WOKV.
Good Saturday afternoon, Jacksonville. You are listening to the Consumer Law Hour, brought to you by Farah and Farah. Chuck and Eddie Farah in with us today. My name is Scott Young, filling in for Candace Thomas today. Welcome aboard as we've got another hour's worth of consumer law advice brought to you by the masters of the courtroom, the sultans of the settlements, sensei of the, I'm all out of superlatives.
That's enough, man. That's enough. No, thanks a lot, Scott. I appreciate you being here. And let's get right into it. Of course, we're here primarily to take your phone calls, but I've got stuff I want to talk about. There's some cases that have come out that kind of affect us all, and that stuff we can use, kind of law you can use on a daily basis.
There it is.
The way I look at it. And just a recent case that just came out last week, within the last couple of weeks, in the 5th District, which is down south. I think that's like the Melbourne area. But it's relevant, and it's good law for us too. And what it deals with is employers trying to get medical information from your doctors. This is a case where the Department of Corrections sent a request for medical records on an employee. I guess he was a prison guard, and the office, they sent a medical authorization for the patient to sign. The patient never signed it, and but anyway, the doctor sent all the medical records to the Department of Corrections. And so when the Department of Corrections received the medical records, they saw some issues about mental issues or emotional issues. So they kind of used that information to get this guy fired or to get rid of him. He was an employee of the state of Florida. We all know that it's a HIPAA violation.
I'm about to say, isn't that kind of protected information?
It is. But typically, if you look at the HIPAA rules, if a medical provider violates a HIPAA-type document, there are some fines you can, it's money, but it's not, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
It's actionable.
Yeah, it's actionable. I mean, you can do something about it. I mean, you have a claim, and the statute lays out for each infraction what you get. But in this case, what the ex-employee from the Department of Corrections did, he sued the doctor for all his lost wages because he was fired from his job. He shouldn't have turned over the information. Even though it was a mistake, it was negligence, and he was able to maintain a claim against a healthcare provider, the doctor, for the loss of his job. And that's a lot more than what's provided. I mean, I don't know how old he was or how many years he had left to work, but you can do the math. It can end up being a lot of money. So anyway, that was an interesting case because typically people, when they're aggrieved by a HIPAA violation, they're limited to what's allowed in the statute, and it's a limited sum of money. But here, it's a lot more money. So anyway, that was first case I've seen like that.
And that begs an interesting question too. Now, in the event of disclosing that kind of information, obviously the healthcare provider who did it without the consent of the patient carries principal liability on that.
Yeah.
But in acting on it, does that create some liability on behalf of the employer also? For acting on some improperly obtained information?
Not really, because the employer sent a blank medical authorization with the request for the medical information. The doctor never got the patient to sign it, and it was never signed. The patient never released the information to the employer, so the employer was just asking for it. And but they did use the information to get rid of him, to process him out of his position, and find some reason to fire him. But anyway, I just thought that's the first case I've seen where there was a direct action for some other damages, not just the fact, hey, my medical records are out there. I mean, I've seen cases where people's test results, they take an AIDS test, and, it's the results are faxed to somebody, and somebody who shouldn't be seeing it picks it up, and that's a different type of case, and there are money damages for that under the statute, but they're limited. Here, you've got a guy who... depending, if he had a 30-year career left or 20 years left, I mean, you can just do the math of how much money that can end up being. But anyway, that's the fraud. I'll just kind of move on to something else. But that's the point I wanted to make on that, that it's the first time I've seen a case of that nature. The other thing is a lot of people, when they – I really see it in divorce cases. You see it a lot where either the husband or the wife, the lawyer doesn't like the judge, or they're trying to they're not comfortable with the judge that they have on a case. They try to find some connection between the judge and the other lawyer to try to show, oh, this judge should recuse himself. You know, they, I mean, he
some the, bias of some sort, some bias, or potential
trying,
bias.
So yeah, they try to do it. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, the judges make that decision, and the judges, I mean, typically in our circuit here, do a great job of going beyond being, you know, trying to keep all that. A lot of times the judges themselves will say, hey, I can't sit on this case. I know this lawyer, and I've got a business relationship or something with the attorney. And most of the time, the judges themselves will recuse themselves when they can't be, you know, just to make
they'll
sure
do it on their own, almost.
Yeah. Like, even if,
on
their own.
Even if there's just like a potential implication of some sort of bias or conflict of interest.
Yeah, but a lot of times,
even a perceived bias.
Yeah.
You know,
sometimes they'll do it. Yeah, yeah. But in this case, the person did, he asked the judge to recuse himself because the judge was a Facebook friend of the lawyer.
Yeah.
Okay, so, all right, now, so this went up to the Florida Supreme Court, and the Florida Supreme Court has just
I remember
ruled.
This a couple of years ago.
Yeah, this is a new, this just ruled on it.
Oh, this is a new one.
Now,
all right.
Well, now the law is established. Being a Facebook friend does not require the judge to recuse himself because Facebook friends could be any, I mean, you probably, most people have Facebook friends of people they never met or they don't even know, maybe.
Nuts.
So, but this person was trying to use the fact that the judge was a Facebook friend of this attorney to try to get the judge to recuse himself. And,
That's.
It was not a divorce. It was a typical civil case, but still, it would apply. But anyway, so if you think you're going to try, if you don't like the judge you have, maybe you're not getting some good rulings and you find out that the judge is Facebook friends with a lawyer, that's not going to. You're not going to recuse him for that. So that's established law in Florida now. I don't know if you got any phone calls, but I can keep.
Speaking of phone calls, if you're interested, give us a call. 855-765-1045 is our line. Yeah. Lots of lines open. 855-765-1045 gets you on with Chuck and Eddie Farah for the Consumer Law Hour.
All right. So moving on to another topic that I think is important for everybody. We're trying to hit things here on the Consumer Law Hour that apply to everyday type stuff we deal with. Every day we probably deal with some sort of type of legal issue in one way or the other. But this is one, the Amendment 7 to the Florida Constitution, which I think was passed probably 10 years ago, is a very valuable tool for you when it comes to your health care, because Amendment 7 to the Florida Constitution allows you to ask a hospital to turn over to you any adverse medical situations that occurred for the type of surgery you're getting ready to have. For instance, if I'm going to have a knee replacement and I want to know what that hospital had problems with knee replacements, you can write to that hospital and ask them to provide you all the adverse situations, medical situations that have occurred in that hospital as it relates to knee replacements. So it gives you knowledge of what's going on in that hospital. I mean, it doesn't have to be a surgery. It can be a colonoscopy. It could be a knee scope. It could be, a catheterization. So you have a right to that information. It's Amendment 7 of the Florida Constitution. You have a right as a patient to get information from that hospital and about what has gone wrong at that hospital as it relates to the medical procedure or surgery you're getting ready to have. To me, that's big, and that's a big deal. A lot of lawyers use it when it comes to these malpractice cases because they want to show, you know, they want to find out what maybe the hospital's got.
Yeah, a trend or
their practices
notice,
or procedures.
Yeah,
or, notice. That they were aware of a certain thing happening all the time. They didn't fix it. But you as a consumer can use it too. I mean, don't use it before. You don't want to get into a lawsuit. You don't want something to go bad.
You protect yourself.
You want to protect yourself, and you can use this tool. It's Amendment 7 to the Florida Constitution. What I would suggest is just writing the hospital, call them and get their risk manager. Every hospital has a risk manager and just or a customer service and say, listen, under Amendment 7 to the Florida Constitution, I'm getting ready to have a hip replacement, and I want all the bad outcomes or the problems that have happened as it relates to hip replacements. And send me that information. That way I can look. And you can maybe compare other hospitals. You can compare, hospital to hospital to see how they're doing there. But, and really, that's not the only thing. I mean, things can go bad anywhere, everywhere. I mean, we're human. People make mistakes.
But it's way if you're trying to make a decision, and you're not sure, that's one way to push you one way or another.
Well, it's an opportunity to take a little bit of power as a patient in your own healthcare decisions as well.
Sure.
To be able to assess the history of this particular institution and or their practices involved. And if they've got a poor history of it or worse, no history of it, maybe you want to seek services elsewhere to assure the quality of care that you're taking.
Right. I mean, you need that knowledge to make that decision. It's an important decision underneath the
that Amendment 7 was a... was an amendment that was really sponsored and pushed through by the trial lawyers in the state of Florida, wanting consumers to have the information they need. And also, it provides people who've been injured at that hospital with information in the event they've got to file a claim or something. But you want to jump on
knowledge is power. We've got some callers lined up. We'll start off with William in Atlantic Beach. William, how are you today?
I'm doing well.
You're on with Chuck and Eddie?
Hey, William.
Okay, look, I've got a question here. If you have a person, a female, and she's working and she's at her cubicle and she's doing her data entry at her insurance company or whatever, and she's pregnant, and her water breaks, and her coworkers call the ambulance takes her to the hospital, the child is delivered healthy and everybody's happy and yada yada, that's great. My question is this: is that a workers' comp issue or is that a health insurance issue, or can the workers' comp and the carrier and the health insurance carrier get together, coordinate themselves, and decide, well, we'll pay half and you pay half? That's my question.
Well, William, first of all, that's not a workers' compensation claims deals with injuries on the job. Having a baby is not an injury. So that's not going to be a workers' compensation claim. That's going to be a health insurance issue.
That's going to be a health issue, even though it happens on the job.
Doesn't make a difference. Workers' compensation covers claims of employees who are injured on the job. Without who's at fault? The fault doesn't come into it. It could be your fault, and you can make a workers' compensation claim. But in this case, go ahead.
That's fine. That was my question. Okay. I didn't know if it was a workers' comp. Okay, so it's a health insurance issue. Okay, thank you. You've answered my question. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
love your show. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot, William. We'll be back in just a few moments, guys. You are listening to the Consumer Law Hour, brought to you by Farrah & Farrah on News 104.5 WOKV. And we're back with the Consumer Law Hour on WOKV. You're in with Chuck and Eddie Farrah, brought to you by Farrah & Farrah. We've got Mike on the line. He's got two questions for us. First question about medical malpractice, the second on probate. Mike, you're on with Farrah & Farrah.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you. My first question is on time. 13 years ago, a doctor screwed up on my back and didn't do what needed to be done. And now I may end up as a cripple for the rest of my life. But I wondered, 13 years, I don't think there's anything left to go after that doc.
It happened in Florida?
Yes, here in Jacksonville.
Okay, so in Florida, under Florida's medical malpractice law, it's 2 years from the date you knew or should have known what happened that you got to file your lawsuit. Now, it can be extended up to, I think, 6 years maybe, but there has to be some sort of fraud involved, like where the doctor knows of something or he takes something out of a medical record or they misrepresent something to you. And you can have that 2 years extended, but generally it's 2 years from the date you knew or should have known. Now, if he put a device in you, like a defective medical device, that's a 4-year statute of limitations from the date.
No, what happened, I went through a long period with another doctor, and then this was a head doctor, and I finally saw him. When I saw him, he pulled up an x-ray, and he threw me, seriously, threw me out of the office, accused me of trying to do some, pull something. He said I had the back of a 20-year-old. I tried to explain to him there was another person with the exact same name of mine, and he was looking at the wrong x-ray, and he wouldn't listen. That other person is still here, still in the hospital, same name. Mm-hmm. But my back is just about totally out, and I very well may be crippled for the rest of my life because of him.
Well, I would try to get a second opinion from another physician, but I think in terms of the statute of limitations, you should have acted. I mean, you should have acted years ago.
Yeah, see, I didn't know how bad my back was back then. Nobody told me. But anyway,
did you have like a surgery that went wrong, or I mean, that didn't?
No, there was absolutely nothing was done because of what he said.
Oh, okay.
I didn't figure there was anything I could do, but I wanted to ask because I appreciate what you guys do. Okay. The other question is reference probate. My wife passed away. She was to inherit, I don't know how much, a few $100,000, I think. And she kept telling me it's held up. Well, I found out that she was getting the money. She was forging my name to the checks. After she passed away, I didn't know there was probate in the state. I was never involved in a probate. I don't know if anything can be done about that.
Did she have a will? I mean, you should be entitled. Yeah. That's part of her estate. That money that is owed to her, whatever is left of it, is now a part of her estate. And if you're her heir, then you should receive that money.
Yeah, she wrote a will a few days before she died. And put me out of her will.
Yeah, but you can't disinherit your spouse. You can disinherit your children, but you can't disinherit your spouse.
Okay.
All right. So that may not be a valid will. If you want to, if you want to leave your phone number with a producer, I can reach out on Monday, and there's someone I know that can maybe help you with that. Do you know how much are there funds left that that she was supposed to receive?
Oh, I have absolutely no idea.
Okay, so you don't know how much of that few $100,000 is left, you're saying?
Yeah, like I said, I don't know if she got all the money or not. She has a sister, and they split the money, but I don't know the company. I don't know where it is now. I found one of the check receipts, that's how I found out she got the money. But, like I said, somebody forged my name to it, and... I think they forged the will also. I don't think she signed it. But anyway,
you can find out where was it probated at? Where did this money come from? From Florida? Was it here in Jacksonville or from Florida?
No.
Is it an out-of-state probate?
No, it would have been here in Jackson. She passed away here in Jacksonville.
No, I'm talking about the money she was receiving. Was it coming from out-of-state or was it here in the state of Florida?
No, it would have been out of state. It's from her dad, and he was living in Missouri.
Okay, so you can contact the probate court in Missouri and just ask them for a copy of the will and what the distributions have been. You're entitled to that. You don't need a lawyer to get that information.
Okay.
There is a trust involved, but if it's a straight-out will, you may be entitled to get the information you need directly from that probate court.
Yeah, see, I have absolutely, I don't know. I can talk to you a little later.
Yeah. Leave your phone number, and I'll be in phone contact on Monday.
Okay, super. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
We'll be back with more of the Consumer Law Hour. We're going to take a quick update from Fox News, check on our local traffic and weather updates for the rest of the afternoon. And we'll be back with more Consumer Law Hour shortly on News 104.5 WOKV.
helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Now, the Consumer Law Hour with Eddie and Chuck Farah on News 104.5 WOKV.
It's the Consumer Law Hour with Chuck and Eddie Farah, brought to you in part by Farah and Farah here on WOKV. Our number is 855-765-1045. Give us a call, 855-765-1045. So you can get some advice from Chuck and Eddie Farah as to your consumer legal issues. We have Curtis in South Carolina. He's listening to us via the WOKV app. He's got a question about legal malpractice and how to prove it. Curtis, welcome to the show.
Good morning or afternoon.
Hey, Curtis.
I'm curious what legal malpractice is in the state of Florida. My son went through a case, and by what I've been able to find out, his court-appointed state attorney withheld information from him and also lied to him to get him to take a plea. Is that legal malpractice, or is that...
Well, it can be, but...
state attorney.
He had a public defender?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so he had a court-appointed attorney.
Yes, sir.
All right. First of all, if his attorney lied to him, that's an ethical issue. Okay.
Okay.
And you can file a complaint with the Florida Bar. They will investigate it. As they do every complaint, they will do a thorough investigation of what happened. Your son has to sign the affidavit under oath about what the attorney said or did. What he can also do, though, he can file a motion for ineffective assistance of counsel and maybe have a chance to, you know, have his case reheard again.
Wouldn't that also open up the stuff that they dropped?
Well,
I don't know
all the facts, but I'm just trying to give you some avenues.
Well, there was four charges altogether. They, with the plea, they only took the two smaller ones and everything without really getting into the case because people get emotional about some stuff without knowing all the facts. But he's still in state prison and everything, and just wondering if that would cause him more problem than helping him.
Not really. I mean, so he's saying he should have gotten a better deal. I mean, if is that?
Well, I'm the one that's looked into it by what he has told me and by what I know from talking to his daughter and everything, because she's the one that told her aunt about it. And she says that she never accused him of anything. And it was my daughter that accused him of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they just ran with it and did not care by what it sounds like, if he was innocent or guilty. And by what he told me, once his lawyer told him that they were going to charge her for falsifying evidence, and she'd already had lined up a full scholarship with the Coast Guard, that would have ruined that. He went ahead and took the plea to protect her.
Oh, wow.
And all. Man. Because was not going to let her possibilities be ruined over words and everything.
Wow.
Now, there was crimes and everything is something like murder or whatever. Yeah, but just because she got mad and said stuff that may or may not have been true, and I understand it because I'm ex-military and my son was ex-military, and she was wanting to go in as well with the Coast Guard and all that, had full scholarship already lined up because of her grades and all. They were ready to pay everything. And when he was told that they were going to charge her, that to him was, that's going to ruin her chances for the Coast Guard.
Wow.
And all. And he went ahead and took the plea. And you should have taken that to court and fought this.
Mm-hmm.
But he was looking at...
But the problem is
protecting his child.
I know what a lot of times when his attorney probably said, look, you can go to court, you have a defensible claim, but if you lose, you're going to get all this time, and they're offering you this now Do you want to roll the die? I mean, that's how it's pitched a lot of times. I don't like it, but a lot of people make that decision based on the fact they don't want to take the risk of losing and going to court. Because, you know, a lot of innocent people lose in court. I mean, just because
right.
you're...
And there's a lot of innocent people in prison for
it. Yeah, there's innocent people in jail, and maybe you're not guilty, but sometimes being able to prove you're not guilty is too difficult. And so sometimes, right. like you said, some people just go ahead and say, okay, let me get the minimal amount I can get, and because I know I'll be out in a certain period of time.
Right. Well, that's
why I was facing life in prison or something.
I think they were saying 20 years.
Yeah. Okay. So
and all.
That's like a lifetime.
That's a life or and all that. But by what I understand from him and by what I understand from her and everything and other people she's talked to and all,
she was
not given all the facts.
If she came forward and said, I lied, I mean, she could do that. I mean, if she came right. forward and said, it wasn't true, none of it's true, I lied about it, that would probably give him another shot at it. The judge would reconsider everything. I mean, if she convinced the state attorney that she was not telling the truth, then that state attorney would have to take action to remedy the situation. But that's going to take her coming forward and saying, I didn't tell the truth.
Right. And like I said, she goes around telling everybody she didn't accuse him of anything and all that, that it was my daughter that did that. And all. So it's like, all right, I don't know exactly word for word what was said to my daughter from my granddaughter, but it just, I guess, enough to make my daughter feel that she had to do something. But my granddaughter goes around saying that she didn't accuse my son of anything. It was her aunt and so forth.
Well, you know, that should have been sorted out by the attorney. I mean, if these people are making stuff up,
well,
I don't know what else to tell
you. That's one of the things that I'm wondering about, because they never even talked to her. The police never talked to her. Lawyers never talked to her.
Well, I'm sure investigators from the state attorney's office has investigated.
Sure? They sit there. It's in the paperwork. The sheriff's department never talked to her. It's in his paper, and it's in his affidavits when he did his affidavits for, I guess, the hearing and everything. And by what I understand, the prosecutor and his lawyer never talked to her as well.
Well, I gave you your options. He can file a motion for ineffective assistance of counsel because the attorney didn't do what he was supposed to do to defend him. You can look that up. People use that all the time here in Florida, and the judges will review everything, and if they can prove something, then he'll get another shot at it. But it seems like you've got a defensible claim, and people are fabricating stuff that didn't happen. So, I mean, that's the route that he needs to take. I mean, can still get a turn. He can still find an, even though he's in prison right now, there are still attorneys that will look at that and file those motions.
Right. Okay. So that's not really malpractice then.
In this case, it's not. It is a form of malpractice, yes, but suing the guy for malpractice is not getting your son out of jail.
Right. Well, I don't know if it'd be any good now. That lawyer has retired.
Yeah, but. And he probably
the judge has retired. The prosecutor in the case is now a lawyer or a judge and everything. And it's like,
Yeah, but you want to get him out. You want to get him out of the situation he's in right now. That is what I would recommend. Finding someone to file a motion on his behalf, stating that there was ineffective, that his attorney didn't do what he was supposed to do, and that's why he's in the situation he is now.
Okay. Yeah.
Curtis, we appreciate the call. Thanks for checking
Curtis.
In.
Appreciate it.
Good luck with your situation.
Y'all have a good day.
Yeah, man. Thanks a lot. Yep.
Have a good afternoon.
Yeah, you gotta, I mean, whoa.
Tough situation.
Oh, I mean, listen, you know, the Innocence Project, where your attorneys who just, their whole job is to get people who are in jail out. I mean, they prove it all. I mean, their cases come out virtually every day of people who are wrongfully convicted, that pled to things they didn't do because they were facing such, you know,
Or they'd sign something sentences. Because they didn't understand what it was that they were signing.
Yeah, or yeah. Well, yeah, I think maybe, yeah, that could be, it could be that too. But there are a lot of people that are in prison that should not be there because they didn't do it. And
well, hopefully we've got a more...
not perfect, but...
A more upbeat call and a happier situation here. We've got Tom over on the north side of Jacksonville. Tom checking in with a review of some experiences with Farrah and Farrah. Tom, how are you today?
Hey, Tom.
I'm good. How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
I'm good. I just wanted to say that my wife and I were in a car accident, and you know, we got some bruises and scratches and stuff, but it wasn't our fault. And I had seen a Farrah and Farrah ad on TV the night before, and for some reason, right from the accident, before the cops even showed, I called Farrah and Farrah. And I thought it was kind of cheesy, but you guys just kind of umbrellaed both of us and did everything that we didn't even know what to do. And we each got a settlement out of it, which is, I didn't even expect to get that. And I called and thanked you guys and everything, but I just wanted to let people know that as long as you've been around and as much as I see you on TV, the only time I ever thought about calling you, it turned out to be a very fortunate thing for us. And I don't say luck because you guys were very skillful and you brought up things that we had no knowledge of whatsoever. We would have just walked away with the phone number for the person in the insurance company to do whatever they were going to do. But you guys fought for us, and we didn't even know we had anything to fight for.
Well, Tom, we're humbled by those comments. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. We love to hear that feedback because sometimes you don't hear it enough, and we work hard every day.
It gets us going.
It does get us going.
Thank you very much.
I'm happy to give you that plug.
Well, thank you, Tom.
Well, I appreciate that, Tom.
Thank you very much.
Tom, appreciate the call.
You guys have a great day. My Saturday, man. Thank you.
Once again, 855-765-1045, the number to call, 855-765-1045. Lines are open. We'll be talking to you right after this break. You are listening to the Consumer Law Hour here on News 104.5 WOKV. You're listening to the Consumer Law Hour, brought to you by Farrah and Farrah. Chuck and Eddie Farrah in the studio today, taking your calls, 855-765-1045. We're going up to Pooler, Georgia. Doc is on the line with a question about an ex-wife. Doc, welcome to the show.
Hey, Doc.
Hey, Doc.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking the call. 16 years ago, I divorced my then-wife, and I gave her fair value for the two houses that we owned at the time. Now, here it is 16 years later, I just sold both houses, and yesterday I got a letter from her lawyer saying that I owe her half the profit. Can that be done?
Was this in Georgia or in a Florida divorce?
In Georgia.
Was there an agreement of the division of the property at the time of the divorce?
Yeah, I had to buy her portion off. And at that time, I paid her fair share and paid the mortgages off.
Okay, and, how did he even know the homes were sold?
I'm not sure.
Because
maybe one of my kids told her, but you know, that has nothing to do with
it. But you didn't have to have her signature to sell the homes, right?
Right.
Okay, you sold it without her signature. She didn't have to sign anything. Did she go to the closing?
No, because everything was free and clear.
Okay, so, all right. I mean, we're not divorce lawyers, but generally, if she's not on I would look at the divorce decree. That would say
the agreement,
judgment of divorce. The final judgment will have in there who gets what.
Right.
And if he gave you the house and said you had to pay the mortgages and it's your property, then she would not be entitled to any of that money.
That's what I thought. I haven't called the lawyer yet, but that's what I thought.
Why do you have to call him?
Well, let me ask you, did you have a lawyer draw the paperwork at the time of the divorce?
I have the paperwork, and there's nothing in it that states that she gets anything if the houses are sold.
Okay.
I don't know where he's coming from.
I just had to pay off the houses.
I don't know. Maybe they're trying to shake you down for some money. I don't know. If he looks at the divorce decree, I wouldn't even respond to that. I mean, I don't know why you have to respond.
Okay.
Unless you want to take your decree and go to a lawyer and have him look at it and make sure that the lawyer who represented you did everything the way he was supposed to do. That's the only thing I could see.
Okay.
That would be my advice, is get to a divorce lawyer and have him look at it. Let the lawyer respond to him. You shouldn't do that. I wouldn't respond.
Okay. That's what I was thinking, but I wanted to make sure I was on the right course.
Yeah, I think you're good. Okay. I think you're okay.
From what you've told me, it sounds like, but maybe they've got something. Maybe they've got an angle. Maybe there's a mistake or something that was not covered in the divorce decree, and now they see money and they think they can get some of it.
No, okay. I appreciate your help.
Thanks, Doc. We'll see you.
You all have a great weekend.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for calling, Doc. We'll,
hey, Doc, thanks a lot.
We're going to touch base now with
Debbie.
We're
in Savannah, too.
Yeah, we're near Pooler. Yeah.
We're going to touch base with Debbie in Jacksonville now. She's got a question as to how you determine whether to take a settlement or go to court. Debbie, you're on with Farrah and Farrah.
Hey, Debbie.
Hello.
How are
you? Hello. Fine. I'm in a year into the auto accident claim, and I was informed that there's not going to be a settlement when going to court. I just wanted to find out how you make that determination.
Whoa. It's hard to make that determination in just this few minutes we have, but it depends on, of course, what they're offering and what your attorney and you believe the value of the claim is.
Okay.
Insurance companies are tied up. Even these adjusters these days, even if they believe your claim is worth more money than what's offered, they have no control over it. Computers are now making those decisions. So they're not, a lot of times, they want to pay you more money, but they don't have the authority to pay you more money. They don't want to, they can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So once you file the lawsuit, you get the claim out of the adjuster's hands. It gets to an attorney. It goes to a higher level of authority. And if that case is, you know, pursued through the litigation, then you're able to get more money. And of course, if you could take it to a jury trial, anything, you know, you may.
Has the lawsuit been filed in your case?
Not yet. We're getting ready, but
okay. Well, yeah, it'll go through a process, and if it's here in Florida, it'll most likely go to a mediation, which is another opportunity to get the case settled. So
there's a difference of the percentage for attorney fees when you do that. That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, there is. But you know, if the percentage goes up of the compensation to the lawyer, but if the settlement goes up a lot, then it's worth it. You're getting more money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's why you want to do it. I mean, you don't want to file it and go to court and pay a higher percentage to the lawyer and get less money. Your intent is, yes, I want to push this thing to court, but I want to get a lot more money because they're not offering enough to settle the claim or the proper amount.
Gotcha.
But,
okay.
But remember, adjusters, they have, it's not like it used to be. Adjusters in the old days, when we first started, would pay the value of a claim. If they thought a claim was worth $300,000, they would send you a check for that amount if the claim was worth it. Now, they may think it's worth $300,000, but their authority may be $50,000.
Yeah.
And that's all they can deal with. It's not in their hands anymore. So
after the case is filed through discovery, the case becomes transparent, and the insurance company gets to see the true case. And they come to terms with it, and they pay the right kind of money. So good luck with that. But you'll have other chances to settle the case without going to trial.
Okay, I gotcha. Thank you very much.
Debbie, thank you for the call. Thank you, everyone, for listening. This is the Consumer Law Hour, brought to you every Saturday by Farrah and Farrah. Chuck and Eddie Farrah reaching out to the community. Our weekly number, 855-765-1045. We're done. It's an hour. It's gone that fast.
Be good. If you can't be good, be careful.
As always, we appreciate you listening. Stay tuned. News 104.5 WOKV, your source for all things expert on the weekend. We'll be back next week with more of the Consumer Law Hour. Till then, thanks for listening.
If your restaurant has slow bathroom drains and grease blockages, call Superior Plumbing and Pipelining. Superior Plumbing and Pipelining's high-pressure sewer jetting and camera inspection of the drains will assure your peace of mind at your restaurant. Request a free estimate at SuperiorPlumbingJax.com.